I want you to read in 1 Corinthians First Corinthians 2, starting in, I'm going to go start with 13 and read through a few verses here. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 13. These things we also speak not to words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And in 16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, in chapter 3, we continue to read a little bit into that. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with the solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envies and strifes and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I am a Paul, and another says, I am Apollos. Are you not carnal? And so, what that brings us to today is that people fall into three spiritual categories. Got a lot of hum up here. Or wobble, 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 wobble. How's the temperature, first of all? Are you too cool, too hot, too... We kind of had it both going at once, and then we shut one down, and hopefully one will just kind of float around here. If you get cool or something, just raise your hand, and we'll bring the offering to you, and you can probably... I would think you're wanting to give again. But anyway, we want you to be comfortable. So we do find out that people fall into three categories. And I came across this a few weeks back, just kind of reading some things, and last week, and come back to it again as far as some of the areas that we were at in the mind of Christ and all, and then reading up a little bit before that and after that. Because of trying to come to an understanding of what is going on in the world, and then what is going on in our churches, and how the two and how the things mix together. And we know that, number one, it's not going to mix very well. Trying to things of the world and things of the church are the things of what God's kingdom is about. But that's okay. That's the way it's to be. We have to be totally sold out to the things of God if you truly want to live an abundant life of just joy and peace and not be able to deal with all the stuff that goes on. But anyway, we found out, and I found it very interesting, because you hear these verbiages of things. And so we find out that people fall into three spiritual categories that will clarify how they receive the message of the cross. And we all are here because of what? Basically, the message of the cross. God loved us so much. He made a way for us to be brought back to Him in relationship to Him because He loved us so much. And He loved us even when that sin happened way, way, way back in the garden. But He had a plan. And that even didn't surprise God. Isn't that great? That He already knew how it was all going to be taken out. And so when I see those things that had transpired and took place, even with God all knowing, and He knows what's happening, and now he already knows how He's going to fix it. So those same things work for us individually. Do you not receive that in your life and what you're dealing with and where you're going tomorrow, the next day, next month, that He has not already been there and knows where you're going and knows what's there for you? And it's for us to have the mind of Christ so we know how to get there without all kinds of disruptions and frustrations and aggravations. That's what a lot of it is. God has not put us on a path of adversity and problems and all this type of thing. Now, it does say in His Word that There is still going to be trials and tribulations, but count it all joy for the perfecting of you. So we are still going to have those things. It's not going to be an easy walk through this life as long as we're on this side of the kingdom of heaven. But I'm going to do my best that when an opposition thing happens or something develops and that I've got to work through and deal with, that I'm not going to do it by myself. I've tried working on things by myself, haven't you? And it's usually lasted longer than it should. It could have been taken care of a lot quicker. But oh no, I'm going to do it myself. Dan was talking about age and 120 and all that, and I got a situation on my one leg. It started out as a rash, and I scratched it, and it got infected, and the sore, and it developed into a sore, and you name it. I was on WebMD all the time. I was praying and going to WebMD, and I was praying and going to WebMD. I was going to take care of it myself. I was going to turn it over to God. And for the most part, things were working out well. But you know, after a while, it's like, you know what, Lord, maybe my wife is right. You talk about your wife. Maybe she's got a little bit more wisdom than this guy. And especially if you don't like doctors and going to the whole thing, you're just like, eh, just stay away. But anyway, we go. And it's somewhat needs to be taken care of. But it's, you know, as it further went along, I'm thinking, great, they'll be cutting my leg off. You know, this is getting bigger. It's what's going to happen. And so it's like, oh, okay. So anyway. But I started calling, and they got me hooked up to another situation of a doctor and all that. And I called, and I talked to this person, and I said, boy, you know, my age, I said, it just seems like every time I fill out a survey now, there's only one block below me. And I've said that before. You know, what age group are you in? I loved it so much when it was like the second block from the top. Oh, this is great. Now it's getting down to this. This is getting lower. I asked her, I said, what happens when there's no more blocks under the block that I'm filling out? She started laughing. Oh, you're only as old as you feel. I said, that's right. I said, I'm happy. Everything's good. And so I said, you know, sometimes I feel like as we get older, maybe we just need to turn our skin inside out. From the inside out, Lord. Maybe I should start fresh again. I don't know. Is there any freshness in here? Just, here we are. I'm a new guy. You know? But there's things that we take in life that we think we can take care of. And generally when I went in and the nurse practitioner saw it and all, she says, I explained everything that I was doing. She says, man, you're doing everything the way it should have been done. But there's always sometimes a little bit more of a, you know, and yes, I prayed and I believe in healing and God and all these things and all that. But she says, you know, there's stronger antibiotics that we can give you and all that would help. I go, really? You know? So all this is working out well. But I say that to say this, that we sometimes think we can do it on our own. In the natural and in the spiritual. I think that, well, I'm a man of God. I believe in faith. I believe in healing. I believe in the power of the tongue. I confess healing. I confess that and I confess this. I still praise God for my healing. But it's one of those things that after a while also wisdom kicks in too and says, well, you know, I put medical science out there too to help out these things too, you know. And I put a wife there that speaks some sense to you. It's twice she's had to do things like that with my medical situations. Like I said, doctors, nah. But, you know, when I go there, everything's fine. It's like, hey, this is good. I like you guys, you know. I took her there one time for her appointment one time, and I got the floors mixed up. She was on the second. I thought she was on the third. So I'm up in the third, and I'm just sitting in the waiting room there, and this lady that's out there, you know, she's coming around. She goes, oh, would you like a cup of coffee? I go, sure. This is like McDonald's. So I'm sitting there, and I go over to her. I said, well, here, let me go get it. I'll help you. Oh, no, I'll bring it to you, and blah, blah, blah. And she brings out a real cup. I said, man, it's not even a throwaway cup. She goes, oh, no, these are mugs. Wow. It's even better than McDonald's. So I'm sipping coffee and just having a good time on the third floor, looking around, you know. And, you know, 15, 10, 20 go by, blah, 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 blah. 25 go by. I get a text. She goes, where are you at? Well, when I saw that on my text, I look up and I go, because they got, at Dean Care, they got, did he come out this side, you know, there's like everywhere. So I'm going, I said, I'm in the waiting area. She goes, where at? I said, on the third floor. She goes, I'm on the second floor. I said, well, great. Now I said, I got a half a cup of coffee. I can't come until I drink my coffee. That's impolite. So I'm just sitting there just doctoring, or, you know, just nursing it down, you know, having fun. So I drank it, and I went over, and I said, thank you so much. Gave her the cup and turned around and just walked out to the elevator by myself and went down to the second floor. It's like, I hope she doesn't look to see, like, wow, this guy's a vagrant. He's just here for free coffee. But anyway, that's my life, and that's how God and we just have fun. We just laugh, you know? I told her, I was at the third floor, you're at the second. I don't know. I'm just glad I didn't go there saying, I would have found out. I was going to say this. Could you tell me what exam room my wife is in, and I'll go back to her, because they would have lost her, and she wasn't there. And then I would have missed my coffee. So there's wisdom in not asking. It's like, hey! I should have said, is there any cinnamon rolls here, too? Where's this at? This is great. I'll be back here tomorrow morning. But God has fun with me. I have fun with God. I laugh at some stupid things that I do, and we laugh, you know? Silliness. But there's those times that we think that we can take care of these things on our own, and that's the natural man, you know? That even gets into the carnal man. The carnal man is, he's further along than the natural man, but he's just not all the way to where the spiritual man's at. So the carnal man has a lot of the components of the spiritual man, but yet he still thinks he can live part of the things of the world. So carnally, he's like, well, I'll go to church, and oh, I'll do this, and I'll do that. But then sometimes throughout the week, they forget that, and they kind of dip back into the things of the world. And they wonder why sometimes they're struggling and difficulties and all these things that are happening in their life. It's because, I'm jumping way ahead of myself here in my notes and things, but it's because they're in that level of time and place that in Revelations it says, I would desire that you either be hot or I desire that you be cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. That is really where that carnal man or woman is in the scope of things of God. Is we got just enough of him to be saved and go into heaven, thank God, but I've got enough that I'm miserable and I'm really not fulfilling what God really wants in my life, and I'm not really being obedient to him and following his direction. That is that middle man, that carnal man. So looking at the things that we deal with, there are things that we can deal with ourselves, like I tried medically. Gets to the point, let's go to the professionals. Let's go to those that have maybe a little bit stronger creams and antibiotics. I'm on an antibiotic. I've never seen a pill this big before. I showed Dean, and she goes, can you swallow that in one piece? I go, well, the first one I took was a little difficult, but I'm getting used to it now. I picked them up at the pharmacy, and she says, this one's for this, and this one's for that. She goes, oh, my, they're really trying to take something out of you. Yeah, yeah. I said, I've had more penicillin and antibiotics in my body in the last 5 days than I probably have had in my entire life, because I just never been to the doctor. I just don't take a lot of stuff, you know, and it's like, so I'm just like, so anyway. But God is good, and I love him, and we're going to work through this, and it's going to be wonderful. Praise God. But I tried to take care of it, and I needed somebody that had more expertise, more knowledge, had a little bit more power. And that's what it is when we get out of that natural man, pass through the carnal man, and get into that spiritual side of the spiritual man, to where we want to end up there day in and day out. Because that's where the power is at. That's where that resource of just the dunamis power of what we're going through, even though it might be a problem, I've got the power to go through it. Even though it's not going my way, I don't care. I'm going to go God's way, and God will make a way where there seems to be no way. So it's getting to that level of understanding that I need to resign myself from who I am and what I used to be able to do on myself and take care of myself to say I need and rely upon that of God. And I rely upon that of God now because of Jesus saying that he must go so that he, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can come and lead me into all truth, how the Spirit will teach me and show me and talk to me. It's that direct line from God to Tim. Amen. And you need a direct line from God to yourself, and you need to disconnect that carnal man. You need to disconnect that natural man, because you can't cross those wires up, because it causes what? Confusion. Something in the area of the Word says that you're tossed to and fro. The wind blows you this way. The wind blows you that way. I've been there. Have you? I don't like that. I get so confused. And my wife would probably tell you, I get confused very easy. And I'm tired of that. So, the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. Now, the natural man, this person, he or she, is unregenerated, devoid of the Spirit. That's easy to understand. They have no appreciation of the gospel. They live in the realm of the five senses. This is one thing I was trying to think, like, I hope I can remember all this and just off the top of my head. You know, it's like you start thinking, like, ooh, I'll probably forget one of them. Sitting over here during praise and worship, I'm thinking, well, four of them are right around my face. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know? So the natural man goes by the five senses that we all have. Concerned with his life only, or her life only, or this life only. They're not really worried about the future. You talk to a lot of them out there in the world saying, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? They go, I don't know, but I don't care. I'm going to enjoy life where I'm at now. It's like, well, I want to enjoy life where I'm at too, but I also want to know where I'm going to spend eternity, because eternity seems to be a lot longer than the temporal side of where I'm at now. Well, I don't care if you lived to 120, 130, or, you know, 80 or 90, whatever the case is, eternity's a way longer than that. But a lot of them, have you not had people tell you, I want to enjoy life now, I'm having fun, maybe when I get older, or maybe I'll think about God then. It's like, well, I just hope that it's not a tragic accident, that you don't have time to at least say, Lord, Jesus, you know. I mean, I even have Jesus and God on my side now, and something close happens, hey, glory, God, hey, Jesus, you know. It's praise God, but he's there to call upon. But anyway, they only live in the realm of their five, the natural senses that we all have, and they're only concerned with this life. So the word natural will come out of the Greek, which comes from the meaning of sensual. So you look at it in the Greek, natural comes out of this Greek word, and it says being sensual is being in common with lust, illicit desires, and unclean practices that open up a person to more, really, of the demonic side. Well, that's right where the devil wants you. The devil wants the natural man and woman to be tied into these areas here, because being tied into these areas here, you are somewhat removed from the things of God, don't you think? Yeah. And so if you're away from the things of God, there's only one other person that's going to try to get your lunch, and that's going to be the devil. And he's just going to try to put more stuff on you and create more situations and create more problems, and then you're going to wonder, why is it like this? And I don't understand. I'm a good person. A good person doesn't get into heaven. Well, I'm a good person. Well, good is good, but, you know, come on. You got to have something in your life better than just being good. Characteristics of this person, to them, and everything happens. It's just ordinary. Use that word, but you know, things happen. That's their life. When things develop and takes place, that's just like, oh, well, just the way it's supposed to be. No, 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 no. There's things that we, and once you get into that spiritual side, understand that there's a power and there's things that God really wants, because God has a plan and a purpose for your life, but he can only fulfill those plans and purposes in your life if you are totally out of this world and going to him and sold out to him. Because by that, then he can bestow his blessings, bestow his power, give you that direction, give you that strength, give you that peace, give you that patience. That sometimes it's best not to do anything. We in the natural, we want to do it all. I've done silly things like that, and like, you know, maybe I should have waited now that I look back. But everything to them happens ordinarily, and it's just a natural existence of life. They call things that happen good. They call, wow, that was lucky. You know, I used to say that before I really came into a relationship with Christ. I walked through this world, and, you know, so it happens, right? Did anybody here before you really came to the understanding of, no, that's not luck, you know? That was God, you know? God was blessing, or God was providing. And even though at times, this is what's so amazing with God, because he's so full of mercy and grace, there were times I know in my life, even though I wasn't with him at all, I believed him, prayed to him now and then when, you know, something would happen in our family. Way, way back, before I even got married, I believed God. There's God. And I believe at those times, even though I wasn't saved, born again, and really hooked into the things of his power, I believe he did things for me out of his grace and mercy. But I would say, wow, that was really lucky. Wow, that was, you know, I don't care, you're in a car and you don't have any relationship with Christ or anything happening, but all of a sudden you could have been in an accident, but whoo, boy, it didn't happen. Whoo, man, that was lucky. Well, probably, maybe when you get to see him face to face, he'll point out and say, you know, way back in 1972, that's when I told that lady my age, I said, it's way back in 1956. And she goes, well, that's not that far back. I go, I know. But anyway. But God is there. And we don't know his plans and why he does those things. Now, see, in our part, if that's why it's good that we're not God. Because if I was God, I'd probably say, hey, that person doesn't believe me or want anything to do with me. I'll focus over here. But God, being who he is and love and full of grace and mercy and all these things, he says, well, that person right now doesn't believe me or really serve me. But I'm going to protect that. Why is that? He knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. Jeremiah and all, he talks about that he has a plan and a purpose for the life. So he's saying, I've got a plan and a purpose for that life. So even though he's not serving or she's not serving me right now, 20 years from now, as things work out, and if he follows the leading and he surrenders his will and all these things, that he's going to be serving me or she's going to be serving me in this capacity and all that, and it all works out. So I can't explain God other than I'm glad I'm not him. So they call occurrences luck. They are filled with the spirit of the world. Well, what's the spirit of this world? Is it a good spirit or a bad spirit? Bad spirit. This, you know, the spirit of this world, this sphere that we're in, is bad. It imparts them to the worldly wisdom and knowledge, which is that is folly to the eyes of God. So, in some respects, we look at it as, you know, the things, and we shared a little bit about this in Sunday school area, about the message of the cross is foolishness for those in the world that are dying and perishing and all this type of stuff. And we understand it because the cross means so much to us. And we look at them saying, why can't you grasp the understanding of that? But then we'd have to look at it this way, that some of the things that they're doing out there, just think how that is strange to the things that for us. You know, they think we're strange, and we look at them as they're strange sometimes. It's like, what don't you get? Why don't you get a clue to this thing, you know? It's in that natural side. It's the spirit of this world. It's just the things that we're taking and dealing and being a part of. And so we find that the spirit of this world imparts to them worldly wisdom and knowledge, and the wisdom and knowledge of this world, it says, is folly to the eyes of God. It should be to us. I just don't understand. Even though I came out of it and give everybody an understanding that, you know, I was right there at one time, so I'm no better than you other than I'm saved by grace and born again and received Christ as my Lord and Savior, but there was sin in my life. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the cross. The cross. So they provide solutions to problems or explanations to situations and occurrences in a human, natural, ordinary way using the acquired world knowledge and wisdom. This is the natural man, natural woman. So they use the things of this life, the things that they've been taught, learned just by actions and looking at as the natural component of things, as, well, this is how you would work through these things. This is how this is dealt. And that's true, because we were all there, weren't we? Until you change your mind, until you renew your mind, until you get that mind of Christ, which is so important to renew. This mind is full of a lot of stuff. And as much as our mind and my mind has been renewed, there's some things that are still probably in my capacity of memory banks that really, at times I need to say, Lord, erase that or forget that, or I don't even want to think about that type of thing. Renew my mind upon the things of God, upon God's word, upon what God says about the situation, and so that I can have that mind of Christ. But the person out in the world, that natural person, they don't have that. They're just dealing with what? Natural things. It comes and it goes. Oh, well, just the luck of the draw. Deal with it. Oh, well. We look at these as far as the natural person. They're lacking the gifts. We all have gifts, amen? The gifts that God has given us, that we have been given and granted and here because of your relationship and because of the Holy Spirit. And we find that the gifts... they are filled with the spirit of the world, remember? So if they're filled with the spirit of the world, it's kind of hard to have the spirit of God, right? I mean, it ain't going to work. So the people there that are in the natural man, lacks the gifts that we find in Ephesians 4:11, which come from Christ, and then we look at the Romans. So let's just go look at Ephesians 4:11 while we're there. Well, we're not there, but I mean, we can turn there. Ephesians 4:11, these are things... from Christ. It says that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So that's one of the parts of the gifts that comes to us by that of Christ. And then we look back to Romans 12:6. Romans 12:6, we find that it says this: having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it on our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, give with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And those are the gifts that come from God. And then there's the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22. So we get these different giftings and talents or whatever that are put within us from God, from Jesus, and then we get from the Holy Spirit. So what do we get from the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22? We get love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So if you look through all of these things that God has to give, that Jesus has to give, and that the Holy Spirit has to give, these are all things that are void and missing in that of a natural man. That's why they're frustrated. Well, they might enjoy life now and everything's fine and all this, that, and the other, whatever, you know, but we've talked before, you could have a ton of money. And there's people out there that have a ton of money, but you really get into the nuts and bolts and saying, but how are you really feeling? How are you now? And they go, I feel empty. I feel lonely. I'm frustrated. Whatever the case might be. And it's like, how could you do that? How, you know, me, filled with the Spirit of God, if I had like a gazillion dollars, I'd even be happy too, you know? But it's like, whoo, this guy's got all this money, or this gal's got all this money, or all this resources, but here it is. It's all material things. Material things don't satisfy the soul. It satisfies the flesh. It satisfies, I'm happy for that, but there's something that we're missing. And that part and that integral part that we're missing is having that relationship with God. Because without God, it's just nothing. It's just stuff. And praise God that God is a God of abundance and a God of love, and he takes care of his children, amen. And, you know, we've got a roof over our head, we've got transportation, we've got power. You know, I got, they call them smartphones, but I got a dumb phone because it just upsets me at times. The world calls it smart, I call it dumb. I'm not going to let it get a foot up on me, you know. Every time it gets a little aggravated, I just take it over by the toilet and say, you see that water down there? I can drop you, I can snuff your life out just like that. All of a sudden that girl comes on, you know, that Android lady. Please don't do that. No, not really. You didn't believe that. But you know, the world calls things differently than what God calls them. And sometimes we fall into the trap of what the world says, we go along with. Hey, okay, that's what it is. That's what it's supposed to be. Everybody else is doing it. You know, must be good. You know, all of us that had kids and everybody, and the kids wanted to do something because little Johnny did it and little Sally did it. And our first thing they would always say is, they jump off of a cliff, are you going to do it too? Some of our kids might have said, sure. Sure, it must be fun. So I don't know if that has changed any in parenting skills to the year of 2015, 16, 18. Now they'd probably say, well, sure, yeah, we just put this rubber band on us like a bungee cord and we just jump and bounce. You know? But they want to follow the world. I don't know why it's so easy. It is, because it's right there. But we find that the man, naturally, the person, they're missing all these giftings and things that God, that Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit has. So that's why they might have a mansion, they might have the best job, they might have five cars, they might have a resort home in three or four different locations around the world. But down deep in them, if you probably really talk to them, they are saying, I'm missing something. I'm just not fulfilled. It's like, wow. And I've got something that didn't cost me nothing. Because Jesus paid the price. Because I didn't have to go to the cross. I just know what he did for me, and I just received him for what he did and say, Father, thank you. Jesus, you're my Lord. Thank you for the blood that washes my sins. Thank you for the healings. Thank you, Lord God. So I got something for nothing, and this guy's got all this, and he's still down and out. So that's one of the things. And we find that in 1 Corinthians, we've read it, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not receive the things from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The things that God gives us, the things that the Holy Spirit gives us, are discerned by that of the Spirit. That's why the world looks at you as you're kind of crazy and kooks when you start talking about things of the Spirit, or, I don't know, when you talk to people and say, well, you know, I sensed God telling me this, or, you know, I just in my conversations and meditation with God, I felt in my spirit that he's impressed this and all, and some probably understand it, and others probably back up a little bit, like, oh, really? Hey, where are you going? You just talked to, you know, it's just one of those things. They don't understand. Amplified says this, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and the teachings and the revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly. That would mean they're meaningless. They're nonsense. How many people hear that in the world of today? You try to share the gospel, good news, and things of what Christ is about and what Jesus did, and they go, that is so silly. If you believe in that, you're a loon, you're crazy. How in the world can you believe that? It's like, well, how can you believe not that? You know? Look around you. You think this life is good? No. But anyway, they think it's folly. Meaningless or nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them. This is 1 Corinthians 2:14 in the Amplified. He is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing and understanding and becoming better acquainted with them. We in the spiritual realm, you know, we've had to grow and learn the things of the Spirit. The giftings, the things that we've been given to us, thank God, as he puts them in us, as we call them and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, Lord, fill me, you know, that these things come in, that it comes to the point of, it's a progressing thing. We grow and develop in these things. There's probably, if we looked at even the gifts of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know, we would probably be hard-pressed if everyone in this room was following all of them at this point in time. Or all at one time, all the time. There's things that we kind of go back and forth on, deal with, and maybe trying to have a little bit of understanding of some things and clarity of it. It's just one of those things that we're developing and growing. But as long as your spirit is there and you're hooked up to God, he will share, he will tell, he will encourage you, he will give you more knowledge of that to help you so that you can walk in all of these giftings day in and day out. But it's a learning progress. It's a learning curve. Amen? So if you don't have them all, or they're not developing to where you think there are some that are certain gifts and talents are going to be given, you're not going to get them all. But, you know, hopefully that we can discern or be that of the giftings of the Spirit to where we can walk or at least look at saying, I want all of these. I don't see anything. Does anything here seem out of place? Or love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you're going through a list, is any one of those you want to throw out of there because you really don't really want it? They all seem pretty good to me. Hallelujah. But to this man here, he's incapable of knowing them or progressively recognizing and understanding and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned. These giftings, these things are discerned spiritually by the Spirit of God and our spirit working that out and estimate and appreciate it that way. Woo! Well, that's just the natural man. How do you handle them? Okay, never mind. We are not going to dip into the carnal man because we're just going to start and it's like 5 till, 6 till. And I don't want to keep you, unless you guys want to go until 1, let me know. We can do that. I'm sure God would be pleased, you know. Whoa! I go meet with some of my pastor friends. I go, yeah, service usually gets out at 12 and I took a vote and everybody wanted to stay until 1:30 to finish the message. They go, whoa! What did you do? I said, I did give them a little kind of like an energy bar when they came in, and they're like, oh, yeah, go ahead. But God's word helps us. God's word directs us. But it only will direct you and help you as much as you allow it to. And so what I want to get into in the next week, and we dig into, you know, we got to get past the carnal man because I want to get into the spiritual side and what is all fulfilled in there. But I think this middle one, because it's, you know, man, then the carnal man, and then the spiritual man, is even sometimes where I fall in at times, or I had been in the past, or where I was at in the beginning. I don't know, but I can kind of find some things that I'm still working on. How about you? You know, I love that little nursery rhyme that kids, I mean, God just knows it all, you know. He should come unto me as little children, and it's like, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. That's really a cutesy nursery rhyme, but it really should be sung sometimes in the main service. Because we're all children, and we're all letting him work. The thing is, are you allowing him to work on you? If you are saying, Lord, here I am, take me, here I am, and we say, you're my Lord, and we've got to be faithful at that to say, when you say that, you need to give him your all, spirit, soul, body, mind, strength, everything. It's like, here I am, Lord. And we all have a tendency to keep one or two areas in our house to ourselves. You know, I want the basement, I want the bedroom, I want this room. Lord, you can have the rest of me, but just let me keep these two rooms because they're just mine. And when I get into the time and I just want to go in there, I just want to do those things and it's the things of the world or whatever. But no, it's got to be, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all. And we all are on that level of we got to just surrender all. It's a day in and day out thing, amen? It's a daily thing. Dying to self. Dying to self. And God gives grace to the humble. If you can humbly say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I've failed in this. Lord, I didn't please you. Lord, I want to please you. And if it hasn't pleased you, forgive me. Show me what it didn't do and help me be able to do what's going to honor you and things of that nature, or whatever the case might be. And he's there to do that. Amen. But he's a gentleman. He's a gentle God. He's not going to twist your arm and say, you will do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it, or else. He goes, here's my promises and everything that I've got for you. Here it is, Tim, right there. Now, it's up to you. You can freely go wherever you want to go, or you can come to that. And if you come to that, I'm going to meet you there. And when I meet you there, we'll walk it out together. For I will never leave you. Or I'll never forsake you. We're not on this life and on this plane by ourselves if you're hooked up to God. No matter how disastrous things are happening in life, in your job, in your home, in the world, in the country, we're never alone. We're always there with Him. And that's why we can walk in peace and joy and long-suffering. And I might be able to hang out on myself as far as long-suffering, but with God it is possible. With God all things are possible. Hallelujah! But I just love Him because He loves me and in the relationship that we have. And I'm glad He's a gentle, loving God. He could have been a rascal. You know, He could really been way out there, you know. But then all we would be is just robots. It's not fun. This is funner, being with Him and allowing Him. And it means something when somebody comes to you without you really twisting their arm to come to you, even in the natural, isn't it? It's like, wow, you respect me, or you think, I'll say puffing yourself up, but you respect me, or you think whatever of me, that you're willing to come to me, and I don't have to go to you and say, you, come over here, you know, type thing. That's like with God. We just go to Him and say, oh, Father, we love You. Thank You. Thank You. And He'll meet you where you're at. Isn't that wonderful? There's a thing talking about, you know, sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. That's sin. And there might be some more things that go along with it, but that just comes off the top of my head. But the one thing about it, no matter where sin drags us down to or what sin does around us, God is willing to come into that situation and say, I will take you out of that sin. I will take you out of that situation, and I will put you on a better path. He'll let you go as low as you want to go until you cry out to Him. We've all cried out to Him at different levels, I'm sure. And He's been faithful to be there at every level. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand.